Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living. We're going to switch it up and we're going to do an interview, but you know that I never bring you anybody that like I'm not like 100% obsessed with. I know you guys love the solos, but believe me, you're going to love this episode so much with a good friend of mine and somebody who is a friend of the podcast. You've definitely heard her before. You've loved her before. And I'm just so excited to have you. So welcome to the show, Alice. Alice is, like I said, a good friend, but also we have like kind of like a funny history where she used to live in DC and was doing these wellness kind of spiritual events before it was cool. And she reached out to me. I forget how we got connected. I think just like online, like on Instagram, invited me to go. And I was like, yeah, my cousin lives there. So I went and I spoke at her events. And then like a few months later, we met in February of 2020. And then like everything just changed after that. But you were always just like so ahead of the curve. And yeah, we've just been friends ever since. So welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you.
Thank you. It's always such a joy to talk about anything and everything with you, and especially to share how the astrology is affecting us in this moment.
Yes. Yeah, so Alice is one of my favorite astrologers. I love, I would call you an astrologer, definitely with a focus on career and business, but I feel like Alice is a bit of a futurist as well, is like what I love about her, because I love an intuitive astrologer, of course, at the end of the day. And she's just, you know, obviously very intelligent. So like the way she storytells and explains it and can actually like is not afraid to go into the future as well. It's just like one of my favorite things about you. So I'm so excited to have you. We were talking off camera about I was just, you know, asking her about her personal life and catching up with her. And she's like, yeah, you know, like last time we went to lunch, you said this, this and this and this. And I'm like sitting here, I'm like, dude, like I'm like such an asshole. Like these things just like come out of me, I guess. Like I'm just like channeling this information. And she's like, you know, you were right. Like all these things that were coming through. But I feel like going to lunch with your friend, it was probably a little inappropriate to be just like flooding you.
No, that's like because we're two intuitive psychics, like sitting together and just like things come through. I remember there was like you were... I can't remember, it was maybe like a workshop, and it was before you moved to North Carolina, and I was like, yeah, I really feel like you should have like more like land and like a retreat center and like, you know, like, and Benny will just be there doing all the things. You're like, actually, we're planning on like moving. I remember that like came through. So it's, I think it's always really welcomed, and it's just nice to engage with people in a different way, because not everyone you like hang out with will do that. And I think it's really fun to have those insights. But regardless, it's like whether you take the advice or put the insights into action, that's a whole different story, which, you know, whether it's me receiving the insights or me giving the insights, that's always going to be the second part, right? You get it. And then you're like, okay, I need to implement.
Yes, you know, always. And I always tell people, like, don't come back for another reading until you've implemented, because then there's, like, not much more for you that's new. But, you know, it's not – sometimes it takes a few times. I was reading this book now that was literally recommended to me over 4 years ago. Like, I was still living in Miami, and I've had it, and I didn't want to read it. And now it's, like – the most important thing, and I totally understand it, you know. So it's just annoying that it took me that long. It's nothing out of this world. It is called Profit First. It's a business book. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
It's really it's a different type of accounting, basically. So it's like, you know, most businesses, like you put all your, you know, all your money goes into like one checking account. Maybe you have a savings account, whatever, but the idea is that your accountant goes in there. She's like balancing things out, which is definitely like how we run. But I feel like as the business is growing, there's something off with like how I'm capturing the money. And then I'm getting overwhelmed by like how it has to be now like spread out. And I'm like, this is not working for me. And I was kind of talking about it with with my right hand, Kat, who's the head of operations, who's like my Virgo of like the Virgo to my Cancer, basically. And she was like, you know, in my, she was telling me in her, and I thought like keeping one account was like the simplest way. Even in my personal finances, like I try to keep like the least amount of accounts. I have several, but I feel like if you have more, like that would be complicated, is kind of like the way that I was thinking about it. But she was explaining to me like that she has like these accounts that like then feed other accounts. And I was like, oh, this is actually like much more organized than what I'm doing. And as she was talking to me about this, I was like, there's actually a book on this. It's called Profit First. I remember because some of my girlfriends that are entrepreneurs had said that they were doing it. And then the other day I was with my hairstylist who owns a salon, and she mentions that she's working with an accountant who like does this type of accounting, which, like based off the Profit First. And it sounded complicated to me at first, but now I'm like, I feel maybe it's just my business is ready for it. But now I'm like, this is exactly what I need. And it's a type of like organizing your money basically, and like how to move the money around so that you're less stressed. And I also think so that I can hand it off more, because I am still handling my money. And I think it's because it's messy in one account. So I'm like a little ashamed about it, the way that like it looks. And my accountant balances everything, but she's not necessarily like managing it. So in this way, I can like actually hand it off to Kat, who is like an operational genius anyways. And it's like very second nature for her. So yeah, that's where I'm at with money. Is there something in my astrology chart that tells you that I am looking at money lately?
Oh, I'm sure. I have to pull up your chart, and I wonder if it was it could have been,
or maybe the business chart, because Alice does these amazing business astrology reads as well, because she was the first one that introduced me to the concept that like your business has an astrology. So yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere, but anyways, I actually, you know, that's just a side note, guys, random mention, but I'm sure that it helps somebody out. It's called Profit First is the book. And but I wanted to talk to you, Alice. I have a bunch of questions, but one of mine was that like for the last few years, you've been having a high focus on career and also business. You just had a live event in LA called What's Next, helping people kind of look at what is next for them career-wise. You come from a bit of a tech background anyways. So I think I was like thinking that maybe some of this is like inspired by how much like AI is changing things for us. But it really seems like you have a strong understanding that careers are changing, or the way that we make money is changing. And I was wondering if you could tell me, like, is that, first of all, like just kind of your personal opinion, like where your mind's at, like why are you thinking about this? And also, like, is there something in the astrology that's also telling you that?
So it's really funny to get your perspective and context, because you're like, oh, you're always like the head of the curve, and this is something you've been talking about for a long time, but now all of a sudden, like, everyone's focused on it. I'm like, I guess. Like, yeah, I just never thought about it in that way, because when I started Woo Woo Company about 6-7 years ago, like in 2019, the language and the messaging around it, because I come from like a marketing like background, was like finding your purpose. And like understanding like your why, to feel more purposeful, led living. And so all my events, including the ones that we did together, were about helping people to come back home to themselves, to understand themselves so that it can be better externally reflected in their relationships, in their jobs. And in 2021, you know, I felt like there needed to be a shift. Because purpose is a very broad word and doesn't honestly have enough of a call to action to get people to change their habits or to realize, oh yeah, like I want to pursue something that makes me happy instead of just paying the bills. So I started framing things more through like, oh, like understand like your next career pivot, understand like what's next for you in that regard. And actually you and I, we had a reading in 2021 as I was making my cross-country trip to California, when you had said, hey, I think you should do like readings around like career and career clarity. That was before I joined, I forget what
one
the
of
the, name
one of, it was like pre-soul reading method.
Yes. And I was just like, well, I do this type of work already, but I bring other people in to facilitate this work. And so over the course of the next 6 months, like after I got the reading from you and after I did the course, like I started to really figure that out. And I've always felt very strongly connected to career and professional development. And I can see it reflected in my chart after, you know, becoming an astrologer. I have a lot of Capricorn placements. I have an important Virgo placements. These are very business oriented signs. And, you know, like just naturally, I think your intuition just guides you like, hey, you should like do this. And I created that free career astrology report website, yoursaturn.com, in 2022, before LLMs, before ChatGPT and Claude and all of these things, but I just felt like people were questioning the status quo of how we worked. And a lot of that came through in the pandemic, but has not been until last year. And like, really, I would say it was the fall of 2024, where people were like, I think I need to change jobs. Like, I like this job, but it's not enough. And that in and of itself was reflected in the astrology, because the North Node moving into Pisces, the South Node moving into Virgo, and Virgo is all about daily rituals, routines, work environments, operations, structure. And so over the last like 2 years, there has been so much change. And so like, we don't really fully grasp what is actually happening with the integration of AI. I think as I speak to corporate clients and clients working at big tech, and really just all different types of industries, like the company, it's kind of funny because everyone's just dancing around. They're very unsure about what this means. But there is more like news articles and conversations happening of like, by 2029, like so many X amount of jobs are going to be obsolete. These are things I was talking about 2 years ago. I'm like, hey, tap into your creativity, tap into your intuition, because I didn't know at the time because I wasn't looking so far ahead. You know, sometimes we're just not supposed to know so far ahead, but I knew the creative component was going to be really important. And last year, what I started sharing more of was with AI taking away a lot of the operational things that it's like taking notes, research, write, like things that can be more automated and edited by like a human. So much of our job description and the jobs that we have are going to get automated. So what do we have left, Nikki? We have what it means to be human. And what it means to be human is to have emotional intelligence, to really understand your intuition, to be able to imagine and to be creative, to have strong interpersonal relationships, to build community. And honestly, it's like it gives us permission to be more like ourselves, to be quirky, to be different, because if you're just like everybody else, and I do think in the latter half of this year and over the next year and a half, people are just going to have different like clothing styles. They're going to do their hair, like instead of being quite homogenous, you know, when you're walking around LA, you're in Santa Monica or Brentwood, like everybody looks the same.
Because they all go to the same doctor.
Besides that, everybody has their Stanley cup. Everyone's wearing aloe, like those types of things. Like people are wanting to be different inside, and then it'll express outwardly, because we want to be the same to be accepted, but to be the same now is to be inhuman. Like not inhuman, but you know, not a human. Like, and when we are different, when we are fully expressive, when we are messy, when we are just being ourselves, that is something that's going to be more respected and more valued. And that also plays a part in work, in terms of being a multi-hyphenate, having a portfolio career, blending different things together. It's very different from a gig economy, which was frowned upon. You're like, I go do Uber, like I'm like freelancing. People are like, you don't have your life figured out. Now there's like a bit of like new terminology, like multi-hyphenate, being a creative, having a portfolio career. And it is,
I haven't heard that term before, portfolio career.
Oh, we'll talk about that some more then. It is a signal of people wanting their identity to be expressed in multiple ways that they generate money, but most importantly, how they spend their time.
If you've been feeling like there's more for you, but you can't quite name it, more creativity, more expression, more alignment in your work, and even in your relationships, I created something for you. It's called Made for More. It's a 6-month mentorship program where I will help you create the work that wants to come through you and become the version of you who can actually fully live it. Because here's what I've seen over and over again. You can't be fully expressed in your work if you're not fully expressed in your life. So inside this container, we don't just focus on your business or your creativity. We also look at your patterns in love, in dating, and in relationships, and shift the way you've been holding yourself back from being seen, chosen, and supported. This is for the woman who knows she's meant for more, more truth, more creativity, more aligned love, more life. If that's you, I'd love to support you in my mentorship circle, Made for More, priced at just $450 a month. We have 3 business and creativity calls per month, and then we also have 2 dating and relationship calls per month. No, you don't have to join all of them. You can just do business or you can just do dating, but if you want the combination, you have it. Plus, we have a library of resources and support in between sessions via Slack. If you love this podcast and you know I'm your girl to help you make that shift, this is the container for you. So follow the link below to register. I can't wait to see you there. I love this so much. And it's so funny to me that you don't know that you were ahead, because you were like talking about these things, like you knew about this like way before. And like, you know, now I'm happy to have this conversation with you. But my mentorship right now, the Made for More mentorship, is literally this. It's like people that are, you know, that have had careers that are successful, or, you know, are moms and are really like getting that intuition that they need to go into the well of their creativity, not only to survive. Like, I don't want it to come from this place of like surviving like post AI or whatever. But I think that if you are thinking about like the changes you want to make and how you make money, or even just the changes you want to make in career, they're not really coming from so much of like a wishing place, like, I wish I could have whatever. I truly feel that it is your intuition telling you how you're going to survive next, and not in a scary way, but in an evolving way. Like,
yes,
we are evolving to this, which evolving is survival, you know, at the end of the day. But it shouldn't be like, well, I got to figure out what to do because AI is taking my job. It's more like I am feeling called to expressing myself, which kind of makes no sense, I think, in many ways, because we have all been raised to take safe routes, to be attorneys and doctors and, you know, like to take these, like to be these technical jobs. And now we are being told something totally different intuitively, that we have to go into the well of like who we really are to evolve into this like new world that we're moving into. And it's just, I think it kind of feels like not logical to most people.
It doesn't. I think that's why there's still resistance. Obviously, there's been more interest in my work in terms of not only my social content, but people booking readings, wanting to work with me, bringing astrology into corporate teams and having it be like something accepted and fun for team building. Like, I see all of this happening, and this could not have happened 3 years ago, 4 years ago, in the capacity that we are experiencing right now. Like, you see it in your own work. People are more open. They're more curious. They're just like, there's something else like out there. And so the creativity component, the like pulling from like within, it's about alignment. And this year and over the next 2 years, everyone's going to view every aspect of their life, not just career, of like, is this aligned? And nothing I'm saying is new. It's about the subtle changes of embodiment and deeper understanding of these concepts and these value systems, right? And authenticity, we're always just like, yeah, we want to connect with authentic people. But more so, I do think that everybody's kind of coming online. It's so obvious now when you're like, oh, that person, I just don't like them. You're like, there's something that doesn't feel right energetically. Maybe they're not being honest, or maybe like it's not a bad thing. You can just recognize maybe they're just putting on a show. Like, they're not being their true selves because they don't feel comfortable. And it is also like a larger trend in representation of this like this longer transit of Pluto and Aquarius of period 9 from like feng shui of like women coming into power. We're in year 2 of 18/20, depending on which kind of like, you know, like transit you're like looking at. And it is about reclaiming power and the shifting of power. And in this in-between state, of course it's going to be uncomfortable. But I do believe that more women are just recognizing like, hey, I want to do things differently at my 9-to-5. Or I want to start a business that really lights me up. Or a combination of these two things. And that truly is what a portfolio career is. You and I naturally kind of have a portfolio career, but you know, it's going to beyond evolve beyond that for entrepreneurs. Like for you, you have your intuitive business, your coaching, your training, but you also have Airbnbs on your property. It's the diversification of income streams, not just solely because of fear, but it's like it's coming from a feeling of like, I can have more. I have the capacity to take on more. Because before, do you remember, like all you could do was just 9-to-5 or 9-to-6, maybe get dinner and drinks like with a friend or go on dates. And then you're like, I'm done. Maybe a workout class like somewhere in the morning or in the evening and we're done. It was a much more simple and straightforward life. And obviously there are people who are doing a lot of different things, but that wasn't the norm. Now it is the norm. People are like, oh, I'm not going to go to dinner. I'm like working on my business, or I'm like teaching like yoga on the side.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's like such a new, and I love it because specifically for me, like, I love seeing my friends that have been like in corporate forever and like are open to opening an ice cream store like on the side and all that, which like I never thought that they would ever let themselves go there. So it's really exciting. Okay, so that is like a lot of, so can we have something that's like maybe a little bit practical or tangible? So let's say, I'm going to use the example of, I'm going to use my brother. I hope he doesn't mind. I have a younger brother. He is a software engineer. And you know, obviously like his work is going to be affected, and he knows this. So let's say like, I'm somebody like that. Where do I go? Like, what part of me do I go into to see like what's next for me? Like, I would imagine some of us want to go like into our heads and like, oh, well maybe I should go to technical school and become an electrician or something like that. I would imagine like some of us like want to do that, but like, if I am, and not even if I'm afraid of losing my job, but more like that I can feel there's something else for me, like what would be the first step, do you think?
Well, the first step is, there's a couple different first steps that have nothing to do with astrology. One, you must find more space to do nothing and just be in nature, to be with yourself. Two, if you're very stressed or dysregulated because of like, you know, like personal obligations or work things, like it's going to be very challenging for you to get like clear on what you want. So you have to come from a more whole place. So what does that mean for certain people? It means maybe taking some time off, you know, maybe reducing their hours, or just finding better ways to cope with stress and to compartmentalize. So that's like, let's say phase one, that's like housekeeping.
Because you're almost feeling like nothing can come through if I'm in like that state of an emergency or whatever.
Yeah, it's like you're not making good decisions from a place of stress. Mm-hmm. And then two, which will be a big theme coming up later this year as well, like go reconnect with like your inner child. Like, what did you really love to do? And you can even see it like in your like adult life. Like, what are some of the shows you enjoy watching? What are some of the activities you do like doing that you haven't done in a while?
What are the activities you're forcing on your kids?
Yeah, that for me was piano.
I tell my older son, he's in middle school, but we're, you know, getting ready for high school, and I'm like, you have to play a sport. Okay, mom, you're going to play tennis. And it's like, it was just because I want to play tennis, but like, I'm too, like, I guess I'm not too old to like,
you're pick up not. Tennis,
but whatever. It's like, this kid is like, okay, mom, I will. I mean, he's been playing tennis his whole, you know, like since he was little, but he's like, okay, mom. And it's like totally not for him. It's for me. It's also like, I want to see him play tennis. Like, I would like to be entertained by him playing tennis. We on Clarity app, guys, we have an inner child meditation that helps you reconnect. And yes. I love that one because it's always interesting, like when you go into the guided meditation to see your inner child, I always ask people to look at like, where is your inner child? Like, is she on a stage? You know, is she in a studio? Is she out on a, in a field? Like, where is she? Because it's like, that's always like the environment that she would love to be in. So it's just really nice to visit.
And it's really helpful if you specifically go back into elementary school and think about like what you were doing when it was recess.
Oh,
and also
God.
Which extracurriculars like did you like? But also just like what you're drawn to currently, because where the what we want to get like going is the feeling of joy and like happiness or just like curiosity. Because when you start to kind of like amplify those feelings, it allows you to think more creatively, more solutions driven. And then you start to realize, you know, I actually really want to start like a burger pop-up. And, you know, and someone like in your friend group could be like, well, I started a restaurant and it failed. Don't do it. But every single person is meant to do something in their own way that only really works for them. Because of their specific energetic signatures, the way that they do things. Like more specifically, it's like the energy they pour into it because they love it. The end product, the service will be very, very different. So for your brother, actually, engineers, even though we a lot of times see them traditionally as like more rigid and kind of like thinking in black and white or just like kind of wanting to do things more traditionally, engineers are actually like extremely, extremely creative. And a lot of engineers, a lot of people who are working in tech are thinking very differently. They're thinking about the future. They're probably more on the spectrum than we like see, like, let's say someone in like sales or like marketing. But, you know, now we've come to realize we're all somewhere like on the spectrum, you know, but it means that your brother sees things in a very different way, but he's had to focus this energy, let's say, for like a 9 to 5. When he starts to expand his field of vision and seeing like, oh, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that, he'll start to see solutions and things that really interest him. Like, as an example, maybe he has always been a little bit interested in electrical engineering. And so he could use his engineering skills to maybe streamline certain things in the trades. Because there's a lot of parts of our society that haven't been streamlined or have been ignored because they're not sexy.
Totally. One of my favorite I've run a lot of businesses. I've been involved in a lot of businesses. And one of my favorites was running the tree business for Benny until it wasn't fun anymore, because I was like a freaking like an MVP up in this joint. Like, because the little marketing experience that I had, the little technology knowing that I had, I just like blew shit up there. I was like, we're going to do SEO. We're going to do this. And like within a month, this guy was like killing it. You know, he was like, whoa, what did you just do? I'm like, don't worry about it. And it was so easy for me to grow his business, where now in the industry that I'm at right now, which is definitely like online, you know, creators, basically, there's a lot more competition because like everybody who that's creating online is tech savvy, is doing like all the things, all the SEO, whatever, whatever. But when you're in those kind of like trade or service-based or blue-collared businesses, there's just so much space. I find it to be so fun. And I also found it to be like very non-personal, where like in the work that I do, it is so surrounded about like me, my personality, my energy levels, what, you know, can I come out and can I talk or all that. And here I would just like sit, I was like a little troll. I would like sit behind the, like I would sit behind the screen, like sending emails, like estimates. And, you know, I like, I would even like change different names so that people wouldn't know it was his wife. I mean, it was just like tons of fun. And, you know, I think it was, Benny had a very different experience because he was not well at the time, but he was like the talent. And I think it was hard. Like I was basically like building the business off of like him being like the talent. And that was a little exhausting for him, but I agree. There's just so much space and fun in, if you're just an entrepreneur, you're happy to do any business, you know? So I think that that is definitely one. Okay. So we're going to go, we first have to get to a place where like we're not in survival mode. I wonder, like, do you think I mean, I guess it's like a bigger question, but like, okay, so if AI comes and if a lot of, you know, not if it's here, but if people like are losing work, which I know people are, I think we're at the place where companies are just using it as an excuse. Companies have been fat for a really long time. And I think we are leaving the world of like the massive giant corporation that has like run fat for a long time and has to like slim down. You know, myself as a business owner, like we're always trying to run lean. And I just think like, some of these companies haven't been able to be lean for a long time and like now they have an out. But I don't think it's like really because like, you know, AI is truly taking these people's jobs yet. It's just like a great kind of talking point. But like, are we going to make money as creatives? Like, can everybody make money as a Substack writer? Can everybody like start up a business as a lifestyle blogger? Like, is that like, you know, we're seeing people want that more and more now. But is it going to work for everybody? What do you think?
I know that's the big question.
Right.
And there will be a lot of changes to the creator economy, to how we like share content, how we sell, how we market over the next few years. And a lot of those changes are coming because of AI, like, you know, AI agents, agentic systems to kind of automate these things. And it's something like, obviously, I think a lot about, and I don't have the answers, because what I've always said for the past few years is that inevitably, we will come to a point where we have to put in UBI, Universal Basic Income.
I think so too. And you know me, guys, I'm Cuban. I am like afraid of communism and socialism and all that kind of stuff. But I do see billionaires definitely putting out some money. I would say the other thing that I see that like might help give some perspective is that Let's take the media industry or like the creator economy, which has been exciting over the last, you know, 20 years, because we're moving from a place where like Hollywood would only allow like five celebrities to be, you know, to be taking up all the space. And then obviously influencers came and there's just like, you know, it's everybody, you know, anybody can do it now, which is really great. And, you know, and you can get there. But I think with any industry, as it becomes saturated, what happens is like the money that is in that industry has to be spread out, not equally, of course, but it will be spread out differently than it was before. So you want to think about like, if you're thinking about like, you know, I would love to be paid as a creative. It's more accessible now than it ever has been before. But one thing to know is that it's going to look similar to like restaurant industry, right? So I have a good friend here that lives in my town who has a coffee shop, and it gives her a nice lifestyle. Like, it's, you know, is she like rolling in the dough? No, but it gives her a nice lifestyle. And then there's still Starbucks, which is giant. It's everywhere. It's all over the world. And they're still both in the same industry. So it's like, I do feel like there will be the Substack person who is like my friend that is like in the, you know, is the local coffee shop, whatever. But then there's always going to be the Starbucks of the world as creators as well. So where before we saw like only the Starbucks of the world, now we're going to kind of start to see like to be okay with some of us having it as a lifestyle business, like truly like as like any business, like a local tree business, like my husband's, or a local, but not everybody needs to be like global or national. And I think that will give us a lot of peace, knowing that, like, that you can still go into it, but to understand like that the how the money is being split up and the attention and the focus is being split up is a little different than what we've seen these last few years.
Yeah, and it's really hard to say what it's going to look like, but as we kind of like, you know, let's say extrapolate out the next like year or two, yes, we're still going to see like layoffs. There's still going to be quite a few issues in terms of like how do we implement AI and the agents and all of those things. And so, you know, I don't see universal basic income coming up like within the next like 2 years, but also it kind of depends on how fast things accelerate. There will be people going on like, what's it called again? Like, it's not welfare, but you know what I mean? Just like, just like they're like, oh, I'm like laid off. Like I haven't had a job. So I'm like, you know, taking unemployment. And the government may need to expand on unemployment, because one of the worst things to happen in a society, and after living in China, I can acutely understand this, as well as, like, you know, studying history, is that you can't have people just sitting around. Right. You can't have people sitting around, and you can't have people sitting around who can't afford things. That causes,
I mean, I feel like we saw that in COVID, you know, like that was like when we got the rowdiest in COVID.
Yeah, civil unrest is really, really dangerous. And this is something that China knows very acutely. It doesn't always do the best job, but I went back in last year, last fall, having not gone back for 7 years. So wow. The last time I'd gone back was pre-COVID. And when I tell you the amount of jobs that I saw that had sprouted up, like, they were constantly cleaning the streets. Like, oh. I know that probably because they want things to be cleaner because of, like, COVID and stuff like that. But there were things that I saw that did not exist 7 years prior. And I think that it is because, like, they want people to have jobs. They want people to do things. So they don't get, like, distracted of being like, I'm not getting what I need. So this is a really, really big issue in America that is not being fully addressed by the government. And you, when you leave it in the hands of, like, larger organizations, it becomes very dangerous. And so there is this point of, like, yes, we're gonna have a lot more people, like, crafting, creating things. I think a lot of people are gonna start making, like, jewelry. They're gonna make, like, hats. They're gonna make, like shoes or, like, purses or, like, clothing, like, small scale, like, really just, like, things that, like, bring them joy. And then, of course, like, some people who aren't making those things, like, they will buy into it. And honestly, it's, like, the best way to prepare for this is to, I know some people, like, won't want to hear this, but just, like, find other ways to generate income, you know, through, like, a craft. And if you feel like you, it's like that is too heavy of a lift, like too much pressure, just get into something creative that brings you joy.
Totally. Like, because I think that's, like, there's just nowhere else to go. Like, that is, like, the place, that's, like, the way to go. Like, that's the place to go. And of course, I shared this recently. I was in, I went to a hospital in Breckenridge, Colorado recently because my son was having horrible symptoms from elevation sickness. Plus he was having the flu, and it was a very emergency situation, and we were rushed into an ambulance and brought to the hospital. And that whole process was very human. It was like these seven giant paramedic men, like, rushed into the hotel. Like, I had never seen any, and, you know, my husband's a big guy, and I was like, oh my God, there's, like, seven of them, like, these, like, seven. And maybe I felt so small at the moment, like, maybe if I would look at these guys now, they wouldn't look as big to me. But in the moment, I was like, my heroes have arrived. But, like, there were seven of them that, like, busted the door open into the hotel room, took Ethan out. Then there was the ambulance driver, and then there was the nurse, the person that took us into the hospital, and then the nurse, and then the doctor, like, all these very, it was such a human experience. And it definitely made me think, or just, like, I just felt it, like, in that moment. I was like, we have to kind of, we are in the unknown. Like, we don't know what's going to happen as the technology starts to shift. But like you said at the beginning of the episode, like, there are just things that are human that, like, cannot be taken. And it was just all that presence of them. Like, none of that could be taken away. Like, that was all very much needed. Like, it was nothing that I, when you're in that state there, I can't talk to a robot. Like, I have to talk. I have to talk to a person. And it's just, like, also made me so grateful for each other, you know, like, just very much, like, just grateful for the human. So I think that that's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be interesting as, like, our species has to share life and the world with other species, maybe not just robots, but also, you know, with aliens. Who knows? I don't know. I'm open to it. Is there anything in the astrology that tells us we're going to meet aliens?
You know, if it was going to be any time, it would be now. And it's because the North Node is in Aquarius. We also have, like, Pluto in Aquarius. We have, like, you know, these elements that are kind of, like, snacking on top of one another. And the sign of Aquarius is one that really wants authenticity. And it loves conspiracy theories. It loves, like, the unknown. It loves things that are different, like Reiki, astrology, like different modalities. It is very futuristic. It is sci-fi. So if it would be now more than ever this year.
How long does the North Node stay in Aquarius?
It's about, like, you know, 2 years or so. So it's like this energy will move. move into 2028, and it will make the shift officially at the end of July. And so that's like the energy that we were feeling in February. I describe February as a preview of the year ahead. So the like from the end of January into the beginning of March, really think about the themes that came up for you.
I almost like that was the hardest month I've had in a really long time. So I'm not excited to hear that. That was a hospital visit. That was like, it was just a lot that month. But
I know.
So what I mean, in what way?
I see it for you, like too, like in your chart. I have your chart pulled up.
Oh.
Yeah. And like, so it's not going to feel as intense like throughout the year, just only like specific moments, aka eclipse season. But mm-hmm. some of the themes that came up, some of the feelings, some of the fears, some of the wounds that like rose up, so you have to resolve them, will be themes that we deal with for the next like few years. And it's important to remember that so that you understand like these are my challenges, but also my opportunities. And eclipse season also will be in August of this year. So those same themes will come up again.
Okay. Yeah. So my dog passed away in that month.
Oh, I know.
I think that was the beginning of why it was hard. But you know, so interesting is that Benny and I were just grieving like little children when we left that dog, because we had to meet her. We had to put her down because she poisoned herself. And as we were leaving, so it was just the two of us, and we're in the car, and like, you know, it was just hard to drive away from that. And it was just so funny. It was like two little kids. Like, we're just like grown ass adults. Like, we were just like little children in that moment. And it was like all of his like little kid stuff was coming out. And like my little kid stuff was like just pouring out. And I kept saying, I'm all alone. Like, I'm going to be all alone. Like, because Molly was with my dog, was with me all the time, everywhere. Yeah. Like, she worked with me. And it was just so interesting how she was covering up a sense of loneliness that I did not know I was like carrying. And we are going to get, I've been spending this time without a dog, and it's just interesting how like her leaving gave me that opportunity to see something that I didn't know I was carrying, but also gave me the opportunity to work through it and to realize like, where does that loneliness like feeling come from? I'm not alone at all. I'm surrounded by people all the time, everywhere. But it is like a feeling that I was like holding, and that like she was just really good at covering it up. And so that was like, to me, one of the biggest lessons of that month. And I also was faced with death like that month, because like she died. I knew my son was gonna be okay, but it was like still scary like to see like the health of, you know, my child. Like, I didn't have any control over it. And there is my Aquarius is in that house of death and money, I believe.
I'm pretty sure that
has been like illuminated for me lately. So I got some insurances that I didn't have during that month, so that was good.
Yes,
let's sign up for like extra protection in case anything happens. So that's what we ended up doing. Speaking of this month, April, we are just starting the new year for the astrology, which is like the Aries season, right? Which I really felt that shift in such a big way. Like, I was like, whoa, this is the new year. And that's why like I don't like to do anything like New Year's related in January, because I'm in such a state of winter that I'm like, this is not New Year. But I really felt the new year this year. I had a hard winter, so I think I was like ready for it. Is there anything that you are excited about for the astrology of this new year, or anything that you're not excited about?
Well, this is when the year like really begins. Q1 felt like a year.
Oh yeah. Yeah, same.
And then February 17th, like, we entered the fire horse year. And I have some friends and clients being like, I thought this year was like the fire horse year was supposed to be good, but it's been so stressful. And I'm like, okay, there's layers to this. The fire horse year happened during eclipse season. Eclipse season brings a lot of change. It's very uncomfortable. And there was a lot of like continuous like shedding, and also recognizing like, hey, this is like a really, really important growth season for all of us, in the ways that can feel more tender than last year. Last year, and we're still in it for a little while, was about losing control of, like, my plans don't go according to plan, and I need to have more faith and trust. So for people like us, it was a deeper kind of, like, exploration of spiritual connection and intuitive gifts. This was a time when intuitive gifts, like, really started to explode. And, like, you know, you're probably, you know, like, have deeper spiritual gifts and new spiritual gifts that have come through in ways that you didn't really expect. And then this new cycle that will start at the end of July is going to force us to, like, really be seen. It is about inner child healing. It's about, like, visibility. It's about...
That word is so big, visibility. I'm like, where did it, this word came out? Like, nowhere.
I know. It came out of nowhere. Just like last year, it was all about wellness. And people are like, wellness has been a trend. And I'm like, yes, but wellness will be even more of a trend. And so much of it was like, oh, nervous system regulation. Oh, we're going to the sauna, like, even more. Oh, like, you know, like there's just other elements of it. Like wellness, like memberships and like spas, like really kind of like taking it to that like next level. And like this year, there's just going to be so much more healing around like, who am I, but also who am I in relation to others, and understanding that we have to be coming together as a community to move forward. But it also is a recognition of, like, for so long we've tried to, like, fit in, not be different. And now is the time when we're invited to be different. So that type of identity work can be very challenging as well. And as
and we, like, not different for the sake of being different, right?
No, like, no, I guess, just like being like, hey, like, I want to dress differently from, like, my friends, because, you know, friends, when they, you know, form a group, you start to talk alike, dress alike, like, you know, your cycles sync, if it's all women, it's like all these different things. But it's like, how do we kind of still stay true to who we are, but even be more revealing to our friends in our relationships of just like, oh, like, this is a part of me that you haven't seen yet. And I want to be able to share that. It's a lot about, yeah, vulnerability. And in the month of, like, you know, April, as we really move into, like, the energy of Aries, and we'll have a lot of planets in Aries as well. And I believe the fire horse really most closely resembles Aries energy. Like, you're, like, any, like, if you have any planets in Aries, you know, or where Aries shows up in your birth chart, like, really is going to be a strong focus. This is where you're going to feel impatient. You want, like, action. You want, like, momentum, like, in this area. And so April really is going to be a time when things are moving very quickly, but you need to have, like, discernment. And you have to be very focused on what you want to achieve. You know, we have a full moon in Libra on April 2nd. And then we have a new moon in Aries on the 18th, I think. No, 17th. And so, like, this type of energy deals a lot with, like, who am I? And, like, who am I in partnership? So don't be surprised, like, in the month of April, if, like, you are juggling, like, those two themes, but also wanting to assert your independence, like, more, and really focus on your own creativity, your own, like, ability to vision for the future as well. So I know that there are some astrologers that are just like, April is going to be, like, a really hard month. I always like to view, like, it through the lens of, this is a time for you to really know yourself and to take action on the things that really light you up, that you have been procrastinating on, that you have been fearful about. Like, if you're scared, then it's probably something that you're, like, if you're running away from something, you should run towards it to address it, to resolve it, to evolve from it. And I actually went to this event last night, like this reading by Brianna Wiest about her new book.
What is she coming out with next? What book is she wrote? The Mountain Is You or something?
Yes. And yeah. Her book is...
she has a whole publishing house. I don't know her, but I've heard
it's,
of her.
It's like, hold on. I bought the book and I like... forgot the name. It's like something about callings. Great callings.
Nice.
And the quote that came up, or like what she was saying that really, really resonated with me was, you know, what you're struggling with the most is what you need to master.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's like,
that's why all my readings have been so difficult lately, because I have people coming for like very, very strong pain points that have been like haunting them for so long. So obviously I have so much compassion, because we all have those. And then what happens is, in the reading, they think that because it's been haunting them for so long, first of all, that they're somehow different and that like everybody else doesn't have this, like they're the only ones. I'm like, no, believe me, everybody has like a haunting. Like, like truly, like somebody says love and some people says money and some are careers, but it's like the haunting has just gotten so deep and thick lately. And it's, so what I am seeing in the readings is that these, what's happening is like the structures in their mind are having to break down. Because I think it's honestly, it's the collective energy that's like making space for like the mind to truly shift in a way that like hasn't been expected over the last few years, or there hasn't been like as much of a catalyst for like people to change the way they think. And now it's like there's nowhere to go but within my internal structures, and they're breaking. And like I'm just getting these people that are just like suffering from, like, I feel like we don't even know it's happening, like that it's just like breaking down in my head, because the world is changing, but also because like those old structures are why you're having that haunting, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And so it is a bit like painful, but I'm so excited about like what's on the other side. Like I can see the tearing down happen, and I almost feel like I feel more like a death doula these days than honestly than a a psychic or intuitive or anything like that. Like I'm in my Kali era right now, just like holding like the death of these like internal structures of people right
well,
now.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because you had said like Aquarius is in your house of like death and transformation. Oh. So it's the eighth house. So this year highlights a lot of that type of work and ushering people in, and just kind of like, well, this is also a time I do believe, like astrologically, like I guess you could argue, because we have a lot of planetary changes that were initiated last year, but now like are coming into kind of like an embodiment stage, like kind of like they're going to be in it for a while, not just for a little bit, that there is an opportunity for you to break old cycles. So, you know, that could be a reasoning behind it. But intuitively, energetically, I feel like this is going to be an opportunity for you to break old karmic cycles.
Yes.
And like April is an opportunity for you to rise to the occasion. And something I've been saying a lot is, you know, you have to break down before the breakthrough. And a lot of us have embarked on new paths or are endeavoring to start new things. And a lot of times, like, you will just hear crickets. So when you don't get the feedback loop, when you don't get like the positive, like, you know, of like, hey, like, yes, your action resulted in something that you wanted. And a lot of that is when you're doing something new habits, like new job, starting a business, like you just don't get that positive, like, feedback. You have to give yourself that. You have to continue on, because it's about the consistency. I think at this point, like in my business, and like, you know this as well, it's about staying in the game. It's not about giving up. It's about pivoting. It's about staying true to yourself and like having faith that it's going to work out. 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, maybe 4 years at this point, like I started doing like corporate work, like team building for astrology. And it was a wild concept. Back then, people like, how do you bring astrology to people? Like, it, are they like frustrated, like, and think that this is like dumb? And I was like, I think that it's really, really helpful, and I want to be able to bring this so people can bridge the gap, understand each other like better, like communication and leadership, like how to understand each other in a way that is less offensive and less in your face of like, this person communicates in this way that triggers like this person. And like, you know, like nobody wants to do that type of like session or like work, but through the lens of astrology, like, oh, like, haha, it's like going to be fun. They're like, oh, actually, like, this was like really serious, but in a really lighthearted way. Had I stopped that first year of being like, it's weird, like people are asking me, are people like booking? I wouldn't have gotten like all of my corporate clients, but I wouldn't have made it to the point of last year where people were like, oh, I'm so interested in this now. We want you to come in. And I have like a couple clients bringing me in to talk about like, you know, marketing insights that you can get from astrology, understanding cultural milestones that happen. So you understand like how consumers are feeling and what is driving behavior and like buying patterns.
Oh my God, of course. I mean, it's like so there. I do readings. I'll do like my prediction readings every month in the podcast, or even I'll have a client that I can tell that there's something activating in their chart. I know not, I really like bare minimum of astrology, truly. Like I don't have that education. But it, you can, if you're intuitive, you can feel it. Like there's so many times. Actually, yesterday I had a client and I was like, there's something in your chart that is activating this. And she did know astrology. She's like, yes, there is something in my chart right now. And I was like, yeah, there's a window of opportunity. It's from now until like whatever, July or something. And she's like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The new moon in Aquarius, that eclipse to like the full moon in Aquarius. That was like that six, it's a 6 month time as well as like there's, yeah, it's just, it's that this is like what's available. And also yeah, there's a new moon in like, you know, there's a new moon in Pisces and like all these different things.
We so we have a full moon on the 2nd in Libra, believe. I feel like I've been feeling that already. I have had a lot of, you know, my roots are in dating work. And it has been coming for me like big time lately, like dating, relationships. It's just something I understand like very, very well. Like I just understand relationships very well. And they're coming, like my clients, every, you know, like the questions that we just did a live event in Miami. And it was like so much about relationships and finding love and, you know, and being my true self within my like loving relationships. Any ideas like what we can expect and what that, yeah.
I'm so glad you asked that because not only are, you know, changes coming to like the creator economy, but entertainment as well as like sales and marketing. This feeling of like dating and relationships, there are these two full moons, like bookending, like this period of time. Full moon in Leo on like February 1st.
So we already happened.
That happened. And okay. Then we have a full moon in Libra on April 2nd.
Okay.
These two things are directly related. Like these two signs, Leo and Libra, are about dating and relationships. And as, you know, Jupiter moves into Leo in the summer, and then the South Node moves into Leo in the summer, there is going to be tremendous change that comes to dating. People are going to approach dating in new ways, doing it more intuitively, doing it more intentionally. There's going to be more ways to meet people in person. There is going to just be more like openness to meet people in real life and to make introductions. And so I have been saying that despite like the world feeling like it's crumbling down, like, you know, globally, but also locally in our communities, like there like are pockets of joy and creativity. And this summer, as well as next summer, are going to feel very similar to the summer of 1966 and 67, which is like the summer of love. So like people are going to want, yeah, people are going to want to have fun.
Did my parents meet in 67? No, my parents must have met in 68 because they would have been 18.
Yeah. So it's like around that time, people like want to have fun. There was also the Vietnam War during that time. So people were organizing, having fun in protest because one of the strongest things you can do in to protest is to love.
I agree, to be creative, to be joyful. What even like the, you know, media and listening to podcasts, like it's so interesting how right before the elections, everybody was like dialed into all this like doom media. And now it's like, you can't pay me to like listen to any of that shit right now. Like give me the gossip, you know, like what I'm listening to the most right now, the toast. I'm like, you know what? Tell me all about the housewives. I don't watch any of that stuff, but like, they're just like light and they're funny and they're just gossiping.
People,
and
I'm
like, that, and like that, to me, that's like, that's my protest. Like that's the rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah, like people want to feel more joy. They also, it's a product of disassociation of like, the world is too heavy. I gotta watch something that feels a little bit more light-hearted or so absurd that, it makes the absurdity of my actual life like feel okay. But I do believe that this is going to be a fun summer for dating. It's going to be a fun summer for creativity. And so it's always about balance, right? Like there will be obviously still things related to revolution, of like liberation, of like human rights, and what does it mean to be fair and equal and to care for people and to care for community. But at the same time, like, you know, life still goes on and happens in these like big moments in time. And so people are going to want to create. There's going to be like new types of music genres, like new types of entertainment. There will be like just like people wanting to gather in person. Like people want human connection, right? They like want to feel something. And one of the strongest things that you could really feel is love, and going through the process and the highs and lows of what does it mean to find someone who can care for you, who can see you, who you can build a life with.
So obviously, I mean, we have a lot of female clients that have had that on their mind and looking for it. But do you think like the male clients will also, they're also going to feel that, or excuse me, the males, the males, they're, you know, they're going to feel that energy too. So that's also like why, it's like being on the same page finally.
Yeah. And also it's like, you know, there's been a lot of news articles around like male loneliness, like that being an epidemic. And I think that people are going to recognize that, like, I think there's a polarity, right? There are people who are engaging like with ChatGPT and other, you know, those types of things, like they're dating them. Totally. Like so that's one aspect that's going to be happening. Yeah. And people becoming more insular and just enjoying like kind of like being alone. But then there are other people who are like, no, like I want to live a full human experience. Like I don't want to just work all the time. I don't want to work for a company that I feel like doesn't understand me, or it's not like aligned with my own values. And so there's a lot of reshuffling happening. When you do the inner work, when you become more authentic, then things that are inauthentic just feel like so annoying. And this is the year where we're just not going to like deal with and want to deal with things that feel, make us feel awkward or weird. Like you can't be your true fullest self, whether it's like a friend or a friend group, or, you know, going to company functions or a role that you're in or working with a specific client. Like you just will not be able to accept things that don't make you feel aligned.
Right. Like you just can't fake it. No. Well, guys, I'm excited always. I love hearing from you. And I think these are just like all good things to think about. I don't think anything we've said you guys like haven't been feeling. I know that everybody here has already been feeling those things. But I'm hoping that our conversation makes you feel like less alone, you know, or less crazy, because it's all shifting. And although, you know, you can't, you know, a lot of that crumbling, like even in like the, you know, in the collective, in our governments, our systems, all that kind of stuff, that is, I always say, I like blame that on like the kids that are being born today, like the, like, or even like the Gen Alphas or whatever. I'm like, they're the ones that are like bringing forward all these, like they're those souls, that energy is bringing forward these like totally new structures. And we are the ones like holding down the old structures and they're just falling apart, but it's scary to watch when it happens, but there's just a better life for us on the other side. There really is. And it's like, we're in a place that we have to like trust following joy over survival. And I know that it's like our instinct to follow survival. But that, what's so funny is that actually what makes you survive is joy, because that is the next evolution. You have to understand, like, yes, we are evolving to a place like that. We are surviving. So now we go to that next stage, which is the next level up.
I think that people are just sick of just surviving.
Right.
You know, they're just like, well, I've been living this way or thinking this way or being fearful or anxious for so long, then like, screw it. Like, I will just do the things that I love.
Exactly. And that is the evolution of the species. Right. And that's why the robot's going to come and do my laundry and do my, you know, my dishes. I always joke. I'm like, you know, these robots, like, they better be, like, impressive, because, like, my Roomba, like, barely can vacuum barely my house, and she's like sucking up my underwear sometimes, like because like she doesn't know what she's doing with herself, with her life. So I'm like, I got like, I don't know what this quantum leap from my Roomba to a robot is, but
we got a couple years, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Jetsons life, you know, of like someone's gonna do like what's really important. I'm like get somebody to do the house stuff, like, you know, the cleaning, the dusting, like the laundry and the dishes, like those
laundry
things,
and
like,
the dishes, man. You know, my grandmother, when she left Cuba for the U.S. and was exiled from Cuba to the U.S. The thing she was the most excited about was the microwave. And it was like such, she even like, I remember when I was older, she was like really always trying to, I'm sorry, excuse me, when I was younger, she would like try to impress me and show me that she could like make an egg in the microwave, or like all these things that she could cook in the microwave. And I remember being like, this is like so odd. But now, of course, like now that I'm an adult, I'm like, of course, because like that was like her liberation. Like the microwave liberated her in like many, many ways, you know, and like that's the best of technology. Obviously now we know that it causes all sorts of weird things and we kind of stay away from it, but still, she lived a long life. Nothing happened to her by using the microwave, and she got years of liberation from what she was expected of before. So I think like that's the way we want to do our best to think about technology. Like there, it moves very fast, so it's obviously going to make a lot of mistakes, like a microwave causing cancer, but it will liberate most of us, I think, because it, like, I really saw it with my grandmother, like it liberated her, like she was so excited about that thing.
I think it's more so about how you feel about it, because like I think the joy and the happiness overrode anything else. Like, we're not doctors, we don't know what happens. Doctors even don't even know like what's happening, like, but it's like it's something that I'm actually really have been thinking a lot about. Like, when you're doing something that you don't like, or if you're like, yeah, you're using the microwave, you're like, I don't want to use the microwave. Like, if you have the feeling I'm not supposed to do this, or like, I'm not supposed to eat this because it's unhealthy, it makes it so much worse than if you're just like, I'm just gonna enjoy this like slice of pie.
Totally.
Or eating the thing I'm not supposed to, or doing something that I'm like, this is not what I want to do, but I have to do it. Just like the way you go about it really makes a difference.
No, 100%. It was like, it was a point of joy in the house. It was so funny. I mean, this is a woman that was like, first of all, hiding a chicken in her backyard because like the communist government doesn't let you like eat any of your food and your, you know, that belongs to you. Then like having to kill it, defeather it, like cook it, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden she comes to the U.S. and she's like, let me introduce you to the microwave. Like, this is how we do it now, Nikki. So I'm excited about, you know, my most optimistic outlook is that may it liberate us from some things, you know?
I think it will liberate us and allow us to become more human.
Yeah, I love it. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here. We will leave links to Alice's work if you are interested. She has a free career report on yoursaturn.com, and also she has some amazing readings for your career chart, but also your business chart if you're interested. I'm getting a business chart read soon. Sending you guys a lot of love, and I'll see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.